Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
Chuck on Saturday, I was a big old fan. And I got to tell you, I screamed, shoot the puck.
Good, you should.
I screamed, shoot the puck. And right after that, Colton Parayko.
That's what you say at hockey 100%. Games.
100%. Let her rip and put it in the net. I take credit for that goal.
So Martin gets an assist.
Thank you. I will take credit for that.
Martin, speaking of the Blues, somebody in the text line, funny joke here. When I did say I saw a Blues player with his family yesterday at Grant's Farm, and Catfish says, Chuck, did the Blues player at Grant's Farm let the other guy get behind him for a breakaway? Oh, let the otter. Are there otters there?
Are there otters there? You were there.
At Grant's Farm?
Probably otters, to be fair.
In the man-made lake?
Mizzou fans reacting as well. 855-282-8255. Then we'll get to What's Your Percentage, a Monday staple on the show whenever we think about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Also, some great text here, 855-282-8255. The Irish Outlaw. Is that Ryan Coyne?
Ryan Coyne, yeah.
Is it actually him texting?
We're like, what was his name? The Irish Toaster? The Irish Microwave?
He says the reverse baby book bag is a true engineering marvel. Changed my life. Mm. So after a while, you switch from the baby Bjorn to the reverse book bag.
Why don't you do the radio show one of these upcoming days, Chuck, with Janie Mae and the baby Bjorn?
Let me just tell you this.
See how your takes are that day.
They'll be hot because I was hot yesterday. I had the wife beater undershirt. And then I had a three-button polo. And let me tell you, when you take that baby Bjorn off, even though I think physically it helps you, you're pretty sweaty rocking that
Does
thing.
Does that
with
speak to the baby Bjorn or to your fitness level?
My fitness and also carrying around basically a 20-pound baby on the front of you for a couple hours.
God, why do you hate fatherhood?
I love my daughter. She's so beautiful.
Why are you calling out your daughter on her weight?
Back to the text line. Baldwin, bottom feeder. Guys, Odom's got to go. It's halfway through year three. And they are still basically playing the games over and over again. Doug's Prison Wallet says, my hot take is every quarterback Missouri has had since Chase has made me realize how underrated Chase Daniel really was. Ulysses S. Grant, speaking of Grant's Farm, he texts in, 7 wins should never be the bar for Mizzou. The Tigers were ranked in the top 10 5 times in 14 years under Pinkel. If Odom doesn't get to 8 wins, his job will be in question after the season. Hey, Chuckles, why do you hate Locke? Why do you hate Odom? That's from Mr. Mushroom.
So Mr. There you go. Mushroom. I don't think you hate Locke. I don't think you hate Odom. You're rooting for him. But if you get to 7 wins this year, if that's your – how good are they going to be next year is a fair question. This was a bigger year because of Beckner, Locke not going into the draft.
One more text on Mizzou. The score would have been the same without Locke. Next year will not be as big of a drop-off as expected, and I think that speaks to the fan base's opinion about
Is
Drew
that
Locke.
Optimism or pessimism? I'm not sure how to interpret that.
So my optimism for next year conflicts with my pessimism for right now.
But this guy's saying, look, and Mizzou, you'd have to think, they need to get a grad transfer quarterback in there for next season because the guy waiting in the wings isn't there. So if they get that person, I don't know who it is.
That Clemson guy?
Whoever it is, that'd be great. But if he comes in and Mizzou has another 6-7 win season, won't that also kind of speak to, well, what did happen during the Drew Locke era when we have this first-round pick at quarterback? Why weren't the Tigers able to get to 9-10 wins in those couple years, his junior and senior seasons? Which is a fair question.
I agree. All right, let's do a little what's your percentage here. We'll tee these up. Anybody can chime in. Feel free. What's your percentage that the Astros will sweep? They're underway. In Cleveland, they got Dallas Keuchel on the mound. Tribe trying to win one at home. Houston appears to be special again. What's your percentage? It'll be a sweep.
I will say 45% because I'm going to give the Tribe at home today's game. I think kind of like yesterday with the Braves, this is the game everybody's looking towards. They're at home. The fans are crazy. And just like that, probably Alex Bregman hits a home run to make me wrong. And
What were the percentages that Walker Buehler would be on the other side of that one? Didn't you think you were probably like at 90% last night? Oh, Dodgers got Buehler, it's over. Which is why you never know.
And that's what just shows you, too, the margin for error in Major League Baseball, where you watch that inning, and here's this guy who's been arguably one of the best pitchers in baseball. No, he has been for the last 2 months, basically. He walks the pitcher, right? And then he has a ball that should have been a ball for a walk, so maybe he gives up two runs, and instead, one of the great young players in baseball also, Ronald Acuna Jr., hits the grand slam. So Walker Buehler easily could have had an outing yesterday that he gave up just two runs.
And I have really to say, the Braves, they showed up in the crowd. Pretty good crowd last
Tomahawk
night.
Tomahawk chop?
I thought the chop, I said that at work. I go, is that still allowed? And they go, oh, it's the South. They don't care. It's fine.
Wow.
Good turnout by the fans. Because we always look at the Atlanta crowd to see if they fill the house or not. All right, what's your percentage? Luke Voigt tonight will go deep back in the Bronx. Seems to hit him at the home park.
Luke Voigt, who pitching?
Who pitching?
I haven't looked at this yet. It was obviously Sale game one. Price game two.
David Price in the postseason.
Porcello's been thrown out of the pen.
It's Nathan Eovaldi going tonight for the Red Sox. I wonder if this series goes back to Boston. This seems to have swung heavily in New York's favor.
New York is so built for the postseason. Yes. Such right-handed power. Such a great bullpen. I'm going to say Voigt hits a dinger. I'll take it.
Eovaldi versus Severino this eve.
Don't you kind of feel a Voigt homer coming?
Kind of.
Grandma Joan?
How about 57%? Voigt homer.
Wow. What's the percentage Mizzou covers Saturday in Tuscaloosa? First ever visit.
20.
To Tuscaloosa. They've played at Alabama before. They've never played in their building.
I certainly wouldn't bet on Mizzou in this game to
would
cover.
Would you touch this game at all?
I hate to say it, I would bet Alabama.
To cover because Nick Saban's pissed.
They're at home. Nick Saban's always pissed.
Correct.
I could see Alabama winning by kind of the same score they did versus Arkansas. Maybe it's 31, maybe it's 35 type points.
Wow.
I hate to say it.
I don't think you're wrong. It's just, it's hard to believe. It's just hard to wrap my head around a Mizzou team that's, would you say, pretty good?
I think they're decent team. And let's also...
That you can honestly look at them and be objective and say, yeah, they'll probably lose by 28 or more. Isn't that just crazy? A team that's in your conference?
Yes. And look, Georgia's really good and maybe Florida's really good. But for basically the better part of 8 years since Urban Meyer left Florida, the SEC East and the SEC West have been different ball games. Every game in the West is really, really tough. So it would not surprise me if Mizzou lost by 5 touchdowns to Alabama. Alabama is just that good this year.
All right, what's the percentage the Browns actually have a winning season? And there is a stat for everything. So they beat the Ravens in overtime, and immediately the first Sunday win for the Browns.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
In over 1,000. I'm like, oh, stop. Because they already had the celebrated win. It was a Thursday night. Finally won a game. Oh, Cleveland finally wins a game. And then we had to find – no. That wasn't a – this is the first – win on a Sunday for the Browns in over 1,000-plus days. Who cares? Can they have a winning season?
And they're 2-2-1, is that
two,
right?
2-2-1.
This year, Browns, that division, I'm going to say why not? I want them to have a winning season. Even though, look, Baker Mayfield, kind of a lightning rod. Some people don't like him. He's cocky, some off-the-field stuff, but he is fun to watch. I want Cleveland to be good. They deserve a winning football team. Been through a lot there, Martin.
Can they go 6-5 the rest of the way? That would get you 8-7-1. That just sounds like a lot of wins for a franchise who just hasn't won at all.
Should we pull a Douglas? Should I name the teams they're playing the rest of the way? Just so you can try to pick the six games out of that
And then they go on the road. Got a rematch, Baltimore, in their building. Probably not, because that's 11 games.
And look,
how about who's next?
They're not a laughing
home against the Chargers.
Ooh.
I will say they have 2 games at home. One against the Chiefs, one against Atlanta. I don't think their schedule favors six.
Atlanta's not that great either, though.
Yeah, I'm not out of the Browns.
What's the percentage right now that somebody's tapping it? Stop talking about the NFL, meatheads. All right, one more for the NFL. What's the percentage?
For the record, I didn't watch any NFL yesterday.
Good for
not
you.
Not a single second.
I'm sorry, man. I still love the NFL.
I
the
best other stuff.
It's the best to gamble on. And with fantasy football, I hate to say it because I know the Rams are 5-0, but God, it's a great watch.
I think this says a lot about how much fantasy football is moving me back into fandom is that I had to work pretty much. I missed the first half of the first slate of games. Check my fantasy scores. I was winning by like 30 points early on. Didn't turn the games on because I wasn't invested because I knew I was walking away with wins. Why do I have to sweat it? Why do I have to watch?
Let me tell you.
It really moves. It's one deal completely.
Tell you what, I wish I was broadcasting again.
One quick NFL take, and that is this. the call against Michael Bennett yesterday. I know everybody's talking about protecting the quarterback and roughing the passer. Michael Bennett yesterday of the Eagles did everything in his power not to hurt Kirk Cousins. He tackled him low, and then he tried to do anything in his power to not hurt the man. They still called the flag. It went from third and long to the Vikings scoring a touchdown with the 15-yard penalty. Totally changed that game, and it was absolutely ridiculous. That's the hot take.
Hoff should love this because it's still got people pissed at the league. It's chaos.
This is
it's
fantastic.
Negative headline.
This is exactly what I wanted, was for this stupid rule that they can't properly judge throughout the course of a game, costing team games, and now players are angry at the league again.
This is great. What's the percentage of the Bears win the NFC North?
Tell you what, Green Bay's
tell you
pretty
what,
injured.
What? I like that what? Khalil Mack. We need a player like him out here in the Bay.
I'm going to say it's less than 50. Vikings are good. Packers, you can never count them out with Aaron Rodgers. How about I say they have a 33% chance?
I don't want to go Douglas on you, but you see the Packers' schedule? They've got the Patriots. They have the Patriots and Rams in two of their next three, maybe both on the road.
Yeah, but at L.A., it's practically a home game for Green Bay.
Yeah.
It's more fun, though, when the Bears are good. So I'm glad the Bears are good. And to have a great defense in Khalil Mack, it just makes sense with the Monsters of the Midway.
What's your percentage of Chuck will be back to Grant's Farm as soon as Sober October is over,
100,
and 100. He can sit in that great little beer garden and imbibe?
100.
For all the veteran parents out there, what's the best, I guess, the youngest age I should take my daughter there where she can really appreciate the animals? 3? What do you think? 2?
Yeah, 2-ish, I'd say.
All right. We'll be back. We'll be back within the next couple years for
How about
sure.
this?
Within the next 8 years, Charlie Marlowe will be back to Grant's Farm.
Listen, speaking of my lack of drinking, I did make the veteran move last night. My father-in-law recommended this to me because I'm not drinking for October. He said, have a club soda on ice with a lemon, so you're kind of thinking you're drinking a cocktail, still kind of tasty. And that's what I did, and it worked.
I feel like that was a tweet by The Onion at one point, and it said, like, club soda on ice with a lime, serving alcoholics, recovering alcoholics' chosen drink for
Dude,
many years.
This is a bad month, because when it's hot out, and it's a college football Saturday, you're cutting the grass. We had a little small fire last night outside
controlled
the fire pit.
Controlled fire. Not like the house didn't catch on fire.
It's just, that's the time you need to have some alcohol. It just feels right. Grilling. It's tough, Martin.
October 21st, Hoff, is that your date?
Yep.
That's my dad's, hopefully he's not listening, surprise 70th birthday party. It'll be tough to not have
when is that one?
A margarita. It's like October 20th or 21st.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen.
21st. Is that going
to
be here?
I might have to make an exception.
Wow. Oh, no.
For your dad's 70th birthday?
He wants you to have a sober October.
I should
For
share.
For your dad's birthday, give him the gift of you having a healthy night of only drinking water.
I should share a nice toast with my father for 70 great years on this earth.
You can tell us with club soda.
Nah, we'll see.
Grape knee high. This is premeditated now, Hoff. This is he's already decided. Hey, sober October.
This is 12 days away.
No, this is like sports. You just said, look at the schedule. I'm looking at my October schedule. This will be my toughest opponent. My toughest opponent is a Mexican restaurant, margaritas, and Mexican food on a Saturday night.
What's the restaurant?
Chuck's
it's in Ohio.
Okay.
Chuck's and then you got October 10th, Jess has club happy hour with her teammates at work, and then we're going to Fast Eddie's with Martin and Kenny. That's on a Saturday.
Is that happening?
And then, yeah, it's going to be happening this month. If Chuck's, you know, after that week, maybe the 27th, because by then you'll be done.
November.
Can we call the Mexican restaurant and tell them not to serve you?
This is what happens, though, with peer pressure from your so-called friends. They're actually frenemies. They try to make you drink. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to get fit. I'm trying to lose some LBs, and you guys are making it harder on me.
What's your percentage today? Brought to you by Offenburg Hyundai. What's the percentage you need a new vehicle? Hey, if it's high, make sure you go to the right place where you get great service and a great product. That's what Hyundai and Offenburg combined to bring you in O'Fallon, Illinois. Get on the web. OffenbergHyundai.com is where you can start the search. Check out all the award-winning vehicles, great-looking vehicles. They've been selling Hyundai since 1989. Coming up on the 30th anniversary. But in addition to the brand new vehicles, also pre-owned vehicles on the lot. Great selection of cars for less than $10,000. It's kind of fun to walk around the lot, Charlie. Sometimes you'll see a Mustang, a Camaro, maybe a pickup truck. And If you have a specific car in mind, they'll find it for you. It's Offenburg Hyundai, O'Fallon, Illinois, Highway 64, about 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. It's a short ride to a great deal. Make sure you buy your next car from the good folks at Offenburg Hyundai. Time now for End of the Day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
Martin, I know you're not feeling well today. Chuck made fun of your interview.
Excuses, just like Drew Locke. Yeah. We make so many excuses for Drew Locke. We make so many excuses
for Martin. I just wanted
to
boost Martin's self-esteem a little bit because, to your credit,
it's Yieldcoin.
Yoko Ono.
So Drew Locke's credit, he said don't blame the weather. He really did after the game.
Well, for a while there, nobody could complete a pass. You couldn't even make a 25-yard field goal at the point in the game where it was basically a torrential downpour. Let me just say this, though. I always joke around about Kilcoin. He's solid. But he cares, okay?
He does.
He's mad at himself because he cares after all these years. I don't care anymore. He still does, and that's a beautiful
thing. You had a great transition in that Offenburg spot, and you got, I believe, two good questions during the Dan Cloris interview from the 11 o'clock hour, the guest who was actually engaged.
Dan Yoris. No, the guy who did these documentaries for ESPN, he was fun, wasn't he?
He was
excited about talking basketball. He had some great stories. It's a 10-part, 20-hour. It's confusing. That's why I said to him.
A lot of numbers involved.
Because it's 5 nights, 4 hours a night. And he said, no, it's 2 hours. But they're playing these episodes back-to-back. So starting tomorrow night, it's 4 hours basketball, a love story.
And let me tell you, I learned something during the Walter Yost interview. I never knew. Is it the International Photography Hall of Fame in St.
Louis?
It's
right next to the Moto Museum.
I've been to that.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. I've been to several events because they have a lot of events at the Moto Museum for charities and whatnot. So I've been there. I never knew the Photography Hall of Fame was in St. Louis.
I went to a mac and cheese event in the Moto Museum once, and I didn't eat that night. You ever eat a lot of macaroni and cheese? A bunch of restaurants put together their own macaroni and cheese recipe, barbecue places, Italian places, whatever. And they brought them down to the Moto Museum. It was the selling point for me and the wife. We went there like a year and a half ago.
Hey, the wife.
It was an open bar. And then we found out why it was an open bar. Because you can't drink much when your stomach is full of cheese and noodles. There's only so much you can consume.
That is so America right there. There's nothing better. Is there anything more just America than a mac and cheese all-you-can-eat bar with an all-you-can-drink bar?
It was fun.
That's why I'm glad I live in this country.
But I think we just ate rice for dinner that night because the event was like at 1 o'clock, and we knew we had to eat something else for dinner, and anything with cheese or dairy sounded disgusting. So we just had like rice.
Mac and cheese is so good. You never want to order it because you know it's not good for you,
yes,
but it's so tasty.
It's so filling.
But I think you get too weird. It's like, hey, we took the mac and cheese and we put caramelized broccoli. Like, what?
One place put chorizo in it, and it was fantastic.
It's hard to mess it up. Lobster mac and cheese, you put the bacon in there.
Some place had a mac and cheese pizza. Pointers. It was Pointers had the mac and cheese pizza.
I'm kind of partial to that Kirkwood pizzeria.
When's that coming?
Tomorrow.
Are we sure?
100%. Don't know.
What's your percentage? Yoff. What's your percentage?
Yoff.
That Kirkwood Pizzeria is in the house on Tuesday.
Let's lock this in right now because I will go personally. I love going to Kirkwood Pizzeria to see my my friend Kinnett. I will pick it up myself. When do you want me to bring it in? Earlier so that Frank can taste it as well?
Sure.
So maybe, 11:30 I'll try to get
it? No, let's find out if Frank's leaving early tomorrow.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to bring it tomorrow at 11:30. I'm guessing pizza, probably toasted ravioli, maybe some wings.
Okay.
They also have these fried pickles.
I'm not
going
to say no to any food you're going to get from this place.
We'll bring pizza and 3 or 4 sides.
Cool.
Many sides.
Hey, many sides.
Rock mentioned this. I was able to find the clip. Just to remind everyone, Tua Tagovailoa, not his full name, Alabama week. Here's how you pronounce it. That's courtesy of Kaipo Leopoldino of the St. Louis. Because Tua is a St. Louisan because he went to St. Louis High School in Hawaii. So we can say St. Louis's own Tua Tagovailoa.
Same high school as Marcus Mariota, I believe.
Yes. Yes. And his brother, who apparently is better, which is kind of scary.
You know, he's kind of due to have a bad game, guys. He's kind of due.
But think about this over the years. Alabama under Saban, they always have a ridiculous defense where every single player is an NFL prospect. They always have a legit offensive line. They always have a big-time NFL receiver like a Julio Jones, like a Calvin Ridley. What they never had is the big-time passer at quarterback. They've had some good running quarterbacks, and now they have that same recipe that I just mentioned with a great throwing quarterback. They are sick good.
I was mad at the Rockies over the weekend. And the reason being is I felt they had no business making the playoffs. I looked this up yesterday. The Rockies didn't have a positive run differential in 2018 until July 27th. So they never had a positive run differential in the first half. Took them near the trade deadline. They had no business being anywhere near 90 wins this year. Then they go in the playoffs, and they score in 3 innings. They played in 41 innings, and they scored in 3 of them. I was rooting for the Cubs in the wild card game because I was afraid that the division series between them and the Brewers would be trash, and it was.
But when you look at that Rockies lineup,
it's not good.
The names are good.
The names are good, but the players aren't.
Okay, but they were really bad in this series. When you roll out a lineup that has Arenado and Story this year that are both MVP candidates, I mean, that's a pretty long lineup. David Dahl was good at the end of the season. Charlie Blackman. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup.
I'm not sure if you were listening at all on ESPN Radio. I know locally they'll play it like on the weekends, the playoffs, the baseball playoffs, if you heard any of the broadcast. There's a familiar voice calling the Dodgers-Braves game. Here is the Acuña Jr. Grand Slam.
And all the way to left field. Back it goes. Back, back, back.
Yes.
Back. Good! A Grand Slam! He can't legally buy a drink, but he can hit a Grand Slam in the postseason in SunTrust Park. Ronald Acuña Jr. It is now officially Hotlanta.
Chris Berman behind the mic.
That's a great call. That is a great call.
I didn't know he was back.
I didn't hear it. I was watching the clip on my phone this morning. They have like the must-see on MLB.com, so it kind of cycles through the TV and radio calls of the various networks, and Berman came up on ESPN Radio.
And look, I've been in the minority on this for years. I know it's kind of cool to not like Chris Berman, and maybe some people really don't like him. I need Chris Berman for at least 3 or 4 events every year.
I agree.
And here they are. Home Run Derby, I don't care what anybody says. He makes it better. That weird opening night of the NFL Monday Night Football where they have 2 games, you know what I'm saying? He should always do that second game, and I feel like he always does. And then some random postseason baseball. Berman is good for business. I've always said that.
You don't need him year-round because his shtick does kind of wear thin if it's a 365 thing, but popping up every few months, I like it.
And he's fun with the NFL. Yeah. With the highlights.
Yes.
Oh, him and Tom Jackson.
That was always really good television.
Yes.
By the way, I love John Shambi.
He's really good.
The only thing the other night, he was with Eduardo, and he kind of went generally like, alongside Eduardo Perez. It's not Eduardo Perez anymore.
He's
Eduardo.
Really good, but he's really funny, too. Like, he has a lot of fun in the booth, especially with Sutcliffe. They have a great time.
He's good on social media, too, John is. He seems to have some fun with just people in general.
He just seems so – he's really good, but he just seems so relaxed.
Well, he jokes around about the fact that, he's not this dude that's going to be all into the fitness. Like, he jokes about, I'm going to be crushing pizza, crushing burgers, going out after the game.
He looks like it, too.
But, hey.
He's a big, big man.
He's really good at what he does.
He is really. I wouldn't mind. I know the Sunday night thing, they kind of settled on Vasgersian and the gal that talks too much and A-Rod.
Come here, Mom.
I like John Shambi.
Hashtag sexist.
Yep.
Okay, Mike North.
Wow.
Mike North. Hey, get the broad out of both, eh?
Watch it there, Dino.
Hey, girls play baseball now? What is this, a league of their own?
They got their own league. Stay out of ours.
They got softball.
Just people are pointing this out. It's Columbus Day, and the Redskins are playing. Is that a little... Not that the NFL should care or pay attention to that sort of thing. Yes. Is that just kind of poor timing?
You think it's an homage? do you think they scheduled it that way, the Redskins?
And also, the Indians got rid of Chief Wahoo, right?
I'm trying
to look at their hats here.
Starting next year.
And get a close-up look.
It's on the sleeve there. They said Chief Wahoo goes away next year.
All right.
Planning purposes.
Is there a more dysfunctional franchise in sports, underrated at least, under the radar, than the Phoenix Suns? The season's just about to start, and they just fired their GM.
Good timing.
I kind of like that.
Like, their first game is next week, and they just fired their general manager.
Yeah, we just realized, and looking at our team, we don't really like our team, we figured out it's his fault. Sorry, folks, we weren't really paying attention during the offseason.
We with the Phoenix Suns like to be proactive, and we think we're going to be really bad this year, and we're just going to fire him ahead of the season.
And look, I know we rip on the NFL a lot, But the parity in the NFL is what makes it so great, because random teams like Jacksonville and Tennessee can be good. If you're an NBA fan, it's not too fun unless you're about four or five teams, and really, what, two or three now? I mean, there's no parity in the NBA. There's only a couple teams that are good. The regular season is not fun. I would hate to be a Phoenix Suns fan.
They fire the GM, and he's like, thanks.
Talk to me about that one year in the NBA in the last 30 where there's been any parity. It's never existed.
Okay, but that's my point.
And that's a problem.
Right, and it makes it less fun. One of the reasons the NFL is so great is because almost every game is good. And the spreads of these games are usually around a touchdown or less for the most part, because teams like the Giants can go and beat a Carolina Panthers team or play it close. The Jets can beat a Denver Broncos team at home. In the NBA, there's only three or four teams, and maybe two every year, that have a legit chance at actually winning the NBA championship.
It wouldn't be as bad if the playoffs, if it wasn't just... Like, I could understand if it was just like the playoff teams are good, the other teams just suck. But the playoffs are a joke because half the teams are just useless, and you just know they're not going to even play more than like four games.
Well, that's kind of what the National League Division Series was. So half the teams are kind of useless. That's the end of the day.
That's the end of the day. Nearly the end of the show. Chuck, tomorrow it's a big Kirkwood Pizzeria Tuesday. Tuesdays with Kenny Wallace. Press Box kicks everything off at 10 a.m. I want to remind you what our little haven has been doing in St. Louis since 1993, 25 years taking care of these kids who have been impacted by abuse or neglect. They bring these kids in during their formative years from birth through age 10, helping their families. We're talking about 500 kids and families every year. Three specific programs serving the youngest members of our community: mental health services, day treatment preschool, foster care, adoptive services. These are the kind of stories that usually... they will break your heart, but somebody stepping in, instead of sitting around crying, somebody's stepping in and doing something about it. That's what our little haven has been doing since 1993. You can read more about their story. You can get involved. OurLittleHaven.org. And Chuck, it sounds like a TV segment, but it's Martin's Corner right there on the website. Going to feature some of our interviews, including success stories. Kids that were at Our Little Haven 20 years ago now. Productive members of the community helping these kids who have been victims of abuse, neglect. Our Little Haven steps in when others don't or can't. Our Little Haven's been doing this since 1993. Find out more at OurLittleHaven.org. And again, if you have time, check out Martin's Corner, which sounds like a post-game show, right, on like the Cubs radio network. Stay tuned, Martin's Corner. Come
love
up after
Martin's
the game.
Corner. And also, because the text line asked for it, we're talking about Berman. They wanted just a couple names like, yeah, like, Eric sleeping with Bieniemy, or Mike, you're in good hands with Allstott.
I respect the fact that his home run call still is back.
It's great. It's iconic.
And it'll be one that'll like just get over the wall. No doubter. All right, we got to get at her. Chuck, I'll do better tomorrow. I'll feel better
you
tomorrow.
You were great.
Hardline's coming away next. Room.